Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
So here we go, Hatton to snap, Fox to hold. Jake Bates with a 44-yard attempt, hash mark right side to give the Lions the lead. He's ready. There's the snap. There's the spot. Kick away. It is up, and it is good! Jake Bates sends it through! Two teams will meet out in the middle of the field to say job well done. Job better done on this day by your first place Detroit Lions. They beat the Vikings by a score of 31-29.
It was a little touch and go there for a while for the Lions. Some excellent football being played by the Lions and the Vikings. And the NFC North looks to be the strongest division in football.
Yeah, it comes out of yesterday looking even better than it did going in. And that Lions thing, I mean, they've got to figure out some pass rush with the absence of Aiden Hutchinson. I wonder how aggressive they're going to be. And I wonder if the Bears are going to be aggressive, even just in conversation, to try and keep the Lions from getting something. I'm starting to envision this war of conversations, because Ryan Poles likes to be aggressive around the deadline.
Yeah, it would be really bad for the Bears if Max Crosby somehow found his way to Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Myles Garrett.
Yeah, that would that would really, really stink. Colton Pouncey does an incredible job of covering the Lions for The Athletic. Also, the Welcome to Detroit podcast with Nick Baumgartner, who's been a guest here on The Score as well. He joins us. He's also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Hey, Colton, thanks so much for picking up the phone. We appreciate it. Let's start here. In your time of covering the Lions, what would you say is the reason, the biggest reason why Dan Campbell has been able to have this level of success?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the types of players they've identified to play for them. You know, they pass on guys that have maybe some more talent, some guys that maybe have been higher rated on draft boards, but they target the right guys. Every player that's here is here for a reason. They have a never quit mentality. They play through injuries. They're just Dan Campbell type of guys. And he and Brad Holmes have kind of scoured the market trying to build a roster that way, of guys with some talent, but also guys that are going to work hard, give it your all, and then kind of go out there and battle it out every Sunday. So I think that's kind of the gist of it. They built this thing slowly over the last, you know, 3-4 years now to get it to where it is now. And I think you look around the roster, you see guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Penei Sewell, Jack Campbell, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, like the guys that they've assembled here and brought here to Detroit, are talented players that just love playing football. And I think it's a good combination.
It's amazing to me, because every time I see him talking about the Lions, I go, I want to play for that guy. I don't know what, like, I don't know if it's a ping pong tournament or something. I want to play for him. How did he go from maybe some people thinking he was a lovable buffoon to being able to really connect with players?
Yeah, I think a lot of it just has to do with he is a former player himself. He's been in their shoes before. And I know a lot of people like to, you know, mention the kneecap biting from his opening press conference and things like that. That's part of Dan for sure. Like, he definitely is a guy that wants to have a team that never fights and never backs down, I should say. But at the same time, like, what I see every day and what the rest of the Lions beat sees is a guy that has a high emotional intelligence and can really tap into the mind of a player in ways that you might not think, from just how he's kind of shaped and how you see his comments and things like that. He's like this big bulky dude that kind of likes to joke around, but you know, he also has a deep care for his players. He puts trust in them, whether it's the game plan, side conversations at practice, and that matters to them. And I think it gets the best out of them and makes them want to go play hard for him. And so what he's got going here in Detroit, the entire city's backing him and this team. So it's been kind of cool to watch over the years.
Emotional intelligence. You had me right there, Colton Pouncey, because, like, these coaches got to be communicators, but you got to be emotionally intelligent and tap into those dudes. He and Jared Goff clearly have a thing. As much as Ben Johnson gets credit for this offense, like, does Dan Campbell deserve some credit for this growth and this incredible moment that Jared Goff is having?
Yeah, for sure. If you go back to that 2021 season, you know, the Lions had Anthony Lynn as their offensive coordinator. You know, things weren't really working with him, and they had to kind of pivot away from what he was doing, his system, West Coast offense. And they kind of tailored it around what Jared Goff does well. So Dan Campbell started calling plays at the end of the 2021 season. He started working closer with Ben Johnson to kind of craft the offense that he wants this to be and what he wants to look like. And if you remember Dan Campbell's time with Sean Payton in New Orleans, they had a two-back system. He's kind of brought that over to Detroit. If you look at Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery right now, and even a few years ago, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. He's always wanted like a scat back, a guy that can kind of catch out of the backfield and a power back for the goal line. So Dan Campbell's fingerprints are all over this Lions offense. Ben Johnson obviously deserves a ton of credit, but it's definitely both of those guys leading the ship out here.
What made Ben Johnson want to stay? Because he was the hot coach. Everyone wanted Ben Johnson, who had an opening. He kind of shut the door on that. Why?
Yeah, we asked him about that this offseason, because I think most of us assumed that he would be gone and try to get a head coaching job. He turned it down the last cycle as well, and you don't really see guys turn down opportunities like that 2 years in a row. So we did ask him about that, and he told a story. He's on the plane back from San Francisco after the NFC Championship game. He's thinking back to a story from, I think, 2021 or 2022 season about a team meeting where Dan was saying, "Look, guys, like, I know we're losing games right now. It's not looking great, but I can see how close we are. Like, we're losing games by thin margins. We're doing almost everything we need to do. We just got to learn how to close out these games, and we'll be just fine. Like, we have the talent. We have the right dudes in place. It's just going to take a little bit longer." So Ben told us that story. He's thinking back to that on the plane ride after this brutal loss where they thought they were going to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden their season's over. And in a few days, he was supposed to interview with the Washington Commanders. They were going to come to Detroit to kind of talk to him and potentially hire him. But he just couldn't shake that feeling about how close they were. He wanted to come back and give it another go. And I mean, man, he's got this offense humming right now. They look like one of the best in the NFL, and they got a lot of weapons out there.
So you're making me think back to Campbell's time in New Orleans. We're talking about Mark Ingram and rookie Alvin Kamara, essentially. Yeah. In that two-back offense, and now here you are with Montgomery and Gibbs. We miss Montgomery. We loved him as a dude and as a worker. How important is he to what happens on that offense?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, he's kind of what they rely on whenever the offense does get in a rut, which isn't often when you look at it, but when they kind of get away from themselves, they just feed Montgomery. And I think he's been great behind this Lions offensive line, which I think is one of the best in the NFL, with Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow, those guys up front, blocking them, paving the way for him. David Montgomery has been incredible for them. He was an upgrade over Jamal Williams. That's one of the reasons why they wanted to get him. Just signed to a contract extension last weekend. So he's going to be a piece here for a couple more years, and the Lions are happy to have him for sure.
Are the Lions in the market for an edge rusher?
They should be. I assume Brad is making some calls, Brad Holmes. After you lose a guy like Aiden Hutchinson that was leading the league in pressures and sacks at the time he went down, he was kind of a one-man show out there and probably the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. It was really unfortunate to see him go down. I think they're holding out hope that maybe he can come back for a potential Super Bowl run, but that's still a long ways away, and they need to kind of bridge that gap a little bit, because that game against the Vikings did not get a ton of pressure from their edge rushers filling in for Hutchinson. So I do think they should make a move. I don't know if it's going to be a Max Crosby type of move. That's a big swing, and I don't even know if he's available to take a swing after. But I do think they can get a guy that can kind of bridge the gap a little bit and create some more pressures.
Last thing for you, Colton. This is all great stuff. I remember hearing about the draft pick of Penei Sewell and just how important that was to Brad Holmes as like kind of a template for the entire thought process of team building, valuing the line and valuing the dude. He has lived up to that, right? It was him or Jamar Chase was the debate at the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, Jamar Chase would have been a great pick if he were there. A lot of people in Detroit, actually fans and media, were suggesting maybe Justin Fields or just take a quarterback after you trade a guy like Stafford. But Brad had a vision for this. He wanted to build it up. The Lions offensive line was okay. They were solid, but he felt that was an opportunity to make it into an elite one. You go out and get a guy like Penei Sewell that has already been at two Pro Bowls, was a first team All-Pro last year. He's really been everything they envisioned. He's arguably the most athletic tackle in the NFL. I don't know if you guys saw that hook and ladder they ran to him a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Not many guys 300 pounds can catch a pass like that and get upfield the way he did. So he's different. He's a different cat out here. And he's kind of been the face of this rebuild, the face of everything they do up front. So, yeah, they're looking to have him for sure.
Colton, is my intel right? Are you from the city?
I actually grew up in the burbs. I'm out from Aurora, Illinois. I went to Waubonsie Valley. So, yeah, I'm from the area a little bit.
All right.
I can't claim Chicago like that, you know.
Well, look at you doing it the right way and saying totally. I'm from Aurora and I'm proud. I mean, it is the second city, biggest city in the state. So
yeah, and growing. So, so do you know to be afraid of the Bears and Caleb Williams as a Lions guy now? Do you know to have the fear of God in your heart that we're going to dominate the division for the next decade?
Listen, I had to talk my Chicago friends out of keeping Justin Fields because they all wanted him to stay in Chicago. And I'm like, guys, Caleb Williams is clearly a dude. Like, it's going to take some time, but when he figures out how to play in this league, he has a chance to be a top five quarterback, can get you to a Super Bowl every single year if you build around him the right way. And so I had so many arguments this summer with my friends. I'm like, how are you not seeing this vision? You had Justin Fields for a few years now. You got to see what he did. You gave him plenty of time. You got some weapons for him in the end. And, hey, it didn't work out. You got to move on. That's fine. It happens. But you got a guy like Caleb Williams falling to your lap. You draft him and don't look back.
You can stay. Thanks, Colton.
Colton, you're awesome, man. Thanks so much. Your work is fantastic on The Athletic. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Colton Pouncey of The Athletic.
Enjoyed
that was
him.
Fun.
Yeah, enjoyed him.
Yeah, that was real good.
Very much. Lawrence, there's a massive change to the national sports landscape, and I don't think some of our listeners have even wrapped their heads around what it means because it has changed the importance of our sports weekends.
All right, then why don't we update people on it? And I heard something that was really cool that happened this weekend that was really cool that we need to share. That I think will make people feel the feels next here on The Score.